this. I want to talk about the electability of a school board in Chicago. We'll start with Austin Berg, who is with the Illinois Policy Institute and frequently joins us on a variety of issues and is part of our Mincing Rascals podcast team. Austin, thanks for jumping on. How are you today?
Doing well, John.
Senator Robert Martwick is also joining us. Senator, thanks for joining us. You're on WGN. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, Senator. John? This is John. You're on the air.
Thank you, John. Good to be with you today.
So that's the start of this conversation. I think everybody was frustrated with education last year, but is that what is driving this? What's going on with an elected Chicago school board?
Well, John, the elected school board issue has been going on since 2004. And actually, if you talk to people, it's probably been a move for this long ago. Chicago's never had an elected school board. And so it's one of the basic, you know, rights under a democracy is no taxation without representation. And the idea that the citizens of the city of Chicago wouldn't have the ability to hold the people that run their schools accountable through the course of elections is something that's been weighing on people's minds for a long time. So I've carried this bill for the last 6 years. The pandemic really has nothing to do with it, except it did highlight perhaps maybe even more the need for it, as we saw unilateral decisions being made by the school district without the input of the people who it serves.
Did you agree with my little rant that they should have been in the classroom sooner? I mean, as soon as it was safe, and in my mind it was safe, should they have been in the classroom sooner?
Well, I've never weighed in on that issue. I don't work in the schools, and so I think that the way that the state of Illinois did it was they allowed every school district to work out a reopening plan with their staff, and you know, CPS was one of those school districts that was unable to actually get the job done. So, you know, again, maybe that points to the idea that there was a problem there.
But if the idea is, and it does make sense, doesn't it? All other school districts in Illinois elect their school boards, right?
That's right. And again, you know, this is just sort of the history of the Chicago public schools under mayoral control is a decade of skipped pension payments from 1995 to 2005 that created a massive pension debt that now every taxpayer in the city of Chicago has to pay back when that money should be going to educational services. We've had scandal after scandal. And again, it's not that these things wouldn't have happened under an elected board, but you're supposed to have the ability to hold those decision makers accountable. In Chicago, we've never had that.
Right. So you throw your hands up and say, what can I do? And actually, you can't do very much about it. But I know that Austin feels a little bit differently about this. So let's get another side of the coin. We'll continue this conversation in a minute on WGN. Should Chicago's public school system have an elected school board as every other school district in the state does? We're talking on WGN Radio with two guests. One says we should and one says we shouldn't. First, Senator Robert Martwick talked about why we should do it. It seems positively democratic. You have recourse then. From the Illinois Policy Institute, Austin Berg is on a line too. Austin, why shouldn't we elect the school board in Chicago?
Well, I think Senator Martwick and I actually agree on a lot here. One would be that Chicago needs more democracy, and the mayor really has too much power. And, John, we've talked about that on your show a lot, whether it's the mayor's power over the city council, over police. Oftentimes, it seems like one-person rule in Chicago. So I do think there's plenty of room for more democracy in Chicago. I think we're also in agreement on the state of the finances of Chicago Public Schools. It's a junk-rated school district. There are enormous fiscal challenges there. Now, the question of an elected versus an appointed school board, though, it really comes down to the devil is in the details. And where a lot of people, I think, are concerned about this proposal, this iteration of the proposal to move to an elected school board in Chicago, is that rather than bringing more democracy, it brings the potential of a totally politically captured system by the Chicago Teachers Union, even more so than they already dominate education policy in Chicago. So I think that's a really big concern.
What do you mean? How would it go wrong? If it's elected, how does the CTU, the union, have more control?
So in the case of the CTU, you would essentially have, they would have representatives on both sides of the bargaining table, bargaining with themselves over school policy, over pay, over personnel decisions, over staffing, over school infrastructure.
Pardon me, Austin, but you're suggesting that members of the CTU would run for the board positions, right?
not necessarily the members running, simply the influence of money in that, in those politics. To the extent we even have an old school, you know, Chicago machine politic today, that is the Chicago Teachers Union. They are the most moneyed interest in this battle over an elected school board, and they would be spending millions of dollars getting people elected to this board, who would then turn around and bargain with the same people who got them elected. And I think in that sort of a system, there's really not a place for parents and students and taxpayers. And the risk is that it is captured by the CTU. And I just don't think we have those safeguards in place.
Are you worried about that scenario, Senator?
Certainly. I think Austin brings up a very good point. We have to be very careful about the influence of money over politics. And I think that's something that the mayor and I agree on, is that we have to follow this up with trailer legislation. However, the structure that I designed was designed to limit the influence of money by drawing the city into 20 smaller districts so that your grassroots advocacy, your local involvement matters more than the money. And while I agree that money will continue to be a problem in politics, unfortunately, we have a Supreme Court that said that you can spend unlimited amounts of money, and they've given great power to these dark money PACs. The truth of the matter is while I agree with Austin that money is a problem, the reality of it is I have yet to see a race in the city of Chicago or the state of Illinois where the interests of the teachers unions weren't outspent by the interests of charter schools. Those charter schools are bankrolled by some of the wealthiest people in our state. And of course, so if you're worried about money being an influence of the elections, and I am, I'm more concerned about that. But there's definitely sets up a battle. So what we can do is we can create a structure like we did that limits the influence of money. And then hopefully we can look at things in trailer legislation. The mayor's committed to it, so am I. Perhaps public financing of elections so that we can eliminate the influence of outside money.
What do you say, Austin?
So I think the money question is really interesting, and the democracy question is very interesting as well. I think CTU has shown an ability to spend an enormous amount on these races, and we saw, to speak about the other elected school boards throughout the state, John, I'm sure you talked about this on your show, there were a lot of parents who were frustrated with school reopenings who ran for school board, and at every turn in these local school board elections across the state, they were outspent by unions, and they were boxed out of their local school board. And those candidates then bargain with those teachers' unions on all of the perks and benefits that affect your property tax bill across the state. So I do think there are actually a lot of examples in Illinois of the union side of money and politics resulting in higher taxes and worse outcomes across the state. And I do think that is a very real risk here. To the other point about democracy, I think one problem with this proposal as it stands is that there are some undemocratic aspects. One of them being a 6-year moratorium on school closings in Chicago. And now that is a very hot topic, a very politicized issue. But the fact remains, CPS enrollment has fallen by 100,000 students over the last 20 years. So for a representative from, say, Peoria to be voting on the operations, for example, of the Chicago public schools at that micro of a level, I don't think is democratic.
Senator, you said that would be 20 smaller districts. Did I not hear you say something like that? You're not proposing that we break the massive CPS up, are you?
No, not the CPS, but the school board members. So, you know, much has been made of the challenges of creating a school board that fits a large urban area like the city of Chicago. And Los Angeles ran a move to an elected school board model with 7 members that ran across the city citywide. And what Austin talked about is exactly what happened. It was a battle between unions and basically the Koch brothers. And last I checked, the Koch brothers won. They spent about $2 million on every seat and won every seat on the Los Angeles school board. So once again, the union money got outspent by the corporate money. Okay.
But are you saying that these smaller subsets would be like very local people in this neighborhood?
That's exactly right. So we said, how do we avoid that situation and make sure that people are voting for local representatives that understand their communities? And then, of course, diversity was very important. We want everyone to have a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. So when you break the city up into 20 districts, you can draw into every corner. It's roughly the size of a state representative district. And if you look at the Chicago delegation, in the Illinois House of Representatives, it almost identically reflects the demographics of the city of Chicago.
Here's what I would like to see something fix, and I don't know if an elected school board is, but I'm open to that. And that is, I was just so frustrated with how the CPS ran last year, or in general. And I don't even have a kid in the Chicago Public Schools, but we all benefit or suffer for how the CPS is run. And if I'm not happy about it, what recourse do I have? Well, at least we could throw the bums out. Austin, maybe that's not a perfect solution, but isn't that better than what we've got?
Yeah, and again, I think there are ways to make an elected school board work. But again, I think the devil's in the details. And one of the details I think is concerning is the size of this proposal. So you'd have more than 20 folks on this board trying to solve these really thorny problems and these really complex problems in Chicago public schools. And getting consensus on it, I don't know if you've ever been on a nonprofit or any kind of board with 21 people. It is tough to get stuff done with that many folks at the table, especially when there are political interests at play. And so I think the size is a real concern. We talked about Los Angeles. They have 7 elected school board members. Their enrollment is around 600,000 school kids. Chicago's board had 21 members for 340,000 students last I checked. So I think that size and that number of representatives actually in a lot of ways makes it a little bit less transparent, less accountable. It's similar to, when you go to the ballot box and you see all those names for judges and you decide whether to retain or, as you said, throw the bums out. Yeah. But oftentimes you really don't know anything about those.
Senator, I was just thinking about
quality.
That, Senator. I was thinking, OK, so having given you my grand speech about wanting to control the destiny of the school, I can imagine myself looking at the ballot and going, I don't know, Joe Smith, is he good? In principle, it's a good idea, but I wonder if it is empowering the wrong people. I don't know that I would make an informed decision.
Well, you bring up a good point, and there's an old saying that democracy is the worst form of government, but the best one we have, right? And so democracy is messy. What I can do is I can create a structure. And again, this isn't done. It doesn't even begin to take effect until 2025 when the first elected members are put into this transition period, and then not until 2027 when it becomes fully elected. So we have time to tweak some of these things. But what I would say is this. Number one, you're going to be voting for one school board member because it's broken up into a district.
Right.
You don't have to choose from amongst a million of them.
Yeah.
Number two, we just talked about what a disaster the Los Angeles school district is. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say, I want to limit the influence of outside money, but then you say, I want the same model that failed in that respect. With the 20 members, I hear this unwieldy, you can't make a decision, you won't even be able to agree on what to order for lunch. You're not supposed to. It's democracy. 50 members of the city council make decisions, 59 members of the Illinois Senate, 118 members of the Illinois House of Representatives, and over 400 members of Congress make decisions. You have discussion, you have debate, you have a vote, and you live with the outcome.
I think that's really another interesting point. Fellas, this has been great, and I'm not done with the conversation, but I am today. Robert Martwick, 10th District, Chicago's Northwest Side, Senator there, and Austin Berg, the Vice President of Marketing at the Illinois Policy Institute. Fellas, thank you both.
Thank you, John.
I want to talk about the electability of a school board in Chicago. We'll start with Austin Berg, who is with the Illinois Policy Institute and frequently joins us on a variety of issues and is part of our Mincing Rascals podcast team. Austin, thanks for jumping on. How are you today?
Doing well, John.
Senator Robert Martwick is also joining us. Senator, thanks for joining us. You're on WGN. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, Senator. John? This is John. You're on the air.
Thank you, John. Good to be with you today.
So that's the start of this conversation. I think everybody was frustrated with education last year, but is that what is driving this? What's going on with an elected Chicago school board?
Well, John, the elected school board issue has been going on since 2004. And actually, if you talk to people, it's probably been a move for this long ago. Chicago's never had an elected school board. And so it's one of the basic rights under a democracy is no taxation without representation. And the idea that the citizens of the city of Chicago wouldn't have the ability to hold the people that run their schools accountable through the course of elections is something that's been weighing on people's minds for a long time. So I've carried this bill for the last 6 years. The pandemic really has nothing to do with it. except it did highlight perhaps maybe even more the need for it, as we saw unilateral decisions being made by the school district without the input of the people who it serves.
Did you agree with my little rant that they should have been in the classroom sooner? I mean, as soon as it was safe, and in my mind it was safe, should they have been in the classroom sooner?
Well, I've never weighed in on that issue. I don't work in the schools, and so I think that the way that the state of Illinois did it was they allowed every school district to work out a reopening plan with their staff. And, you know, CPS was one of those school districts that was unable to actually get the job done. So, you know, again, maybe that points to the idea that there was a problem there.
But if the idea is, and it does make sense, doesn't it? All other school districts in Illinois elect their school boards, right?
That's right. And again, you know, this is just sort of the history of the Chicago Public Schools under mayoral control is a decade of skipped pension payments from 1995 to 2005 that created a massive pension debt that now every taxpayer in the city of Chicago has to pay back when that money should be going to educational services. We've had scandal after scandal. And again, it's not that these things wouldn't have happened under an elected board, but you're supposed to have the ability to hold those decision makers accountable. In Chicago, we've never had that.
Right, so you throw your hands up and say, what can I do? And actually, you can't do very much about it. But I know that Austin feels a little bit differently about this, so let's get another side of the coin. Should Chicago's public school system have an elected school board as every other school district in the state does? We're talking on WGN Radio with two guests. One says we should, and one says we shouldn't. First, Senator Robert Martwick talked about why we should do it. It seems positively Democratic. You have recourse then. From the Illinois Policy Institute, Austin Berg is on a line, too. Austin, why shouldn't we elect the school board in Chicago?
Well, I think Senator Martwick and I actually agree on a lot here. One would be that Chicago needs more democracy, and the mayor really has too much power. And, John, we've talked about that on your show a lot, whether it's the mayor's power over the city council, over police. Oftentimes, it seems like one-person rule in Chicago. So I do think there's plenty of room for more democracy in Chicago. I think we're also in agreement on the state of the finances of Chicago Public Schools. It's a junk-rated school district. There are enormous fiscal challenges there. Now, the question of an elected versus an appointed school board, though, it really comes down to the devil is in the details. And where a lot of people, I think, are concerned about this proposal, this iteration of the proposal to move to an elected school board in Chicago, is that rather than bringing more democracy, it brings the potential of a totally politically captured system by the Chicago Teachers Union, even more so than they already dominate education policy in Chicago. So I think that's a really big concern.
What do you mean? How would it go wrong? If it's elected, how does the CTU, the union, have more control?
So in the case of the CTU, you would essentially have they would have representatives on both sides of the bargaining table, bargaining with themselves over school policy, over pay, over personnel decisions, over staffing, over school infrastructure.
Pardon me, Austin, but you're suggesting that members of the CTU would run for the board positions, right?
Not necessarily the members running, simply the influence of money in those politics. To the extent we even have an old school, you know, Chicago machine politic today, that is the Chicago Teachers Union. They are the most moneyed interest in this battle over an elected school board, and they would be spending millions of dollars getting people elected to this board who would then turn around and bargain with the same people who got them elected. And I think in that sort of a system, there's really not a place for parents and students and taxpayers. And the risk is that it is captured by the CTU, and I just don't think we have those safeguards in place.
Are you worried about that scenario, Senator?
Certainly. I think Austin brings up a very good point. We have to be very careful about the influence of money over politics. And I think that's something that the mayor and I agree on, is that we have to follow this up with trailer legislation. However, the structure that I designed was designed to limit the influence of money by drawing the city into 20 smaller districts so that your grassroots advocacy, your local involvement matters more than the money. And while I agree that money will continue to be a problem in politics, unfortunately, we have a Supreme Court that said that you can spend unlimited amounts of money, and they've given great power to these dark money PACs. The truth of the matter is, while I agree with Austin that money is a problem, the The reality of it is I have yet to see a race in the city of Chicago or the state of Illinois where the interests of the teachers unions weren't outspent by the interests of charter schools. Those charter schools are bankrolled by some of the wealthiest people in our state. And of course, so if you're worried about money being an influence of the elections, and I am, I'm more concerned about that. But there's definitely sets up a battle. So what we can do is we can create a structure like we did that limits the influence of money. And then hopefully we can look at things in trailer legislation. The mayor's committed to it, so am I. Perhaps public financing of elections so that we can eliminate the influence of outside money.
What do you say, Austin?
So I think the money question is really interesting, and the democracy question is very interesting as well. I think CTU has shown an ability to spend an enormous amount on these races, and we saw, to speak about the other elected school boards throughout the state, John, I'm sure you've talked about this on your show, there were a lot of parents who were frustrated with school reopenings who ran for school board, and at every turn in these local school board elections across the state, they were outspent by unions, and they were boxed out of their local school board. And those candidates then bargain with those teachers' unions on all of the perks and benefits that affect your property tax bill across the state. So I do think there are actually a lot of examples in Illinois of the union side of money and politics resulting in higher taxes and worse outcomes across the state. And I do think that is a very real risk here. To the other point about democracy, I think one problem with this proposal as it stands is that there are some undemocratic aspects. One of them being a six-year moratorium on school closings in Chicago. And now that is a very hot topic, a very politicized issue. But the fact remains, CPS enrollment has fallen by 100,000 students over the last 20 years. So for a representative from, say, Peoria to be voting on the operations, for example, of Chicago public schools at that micro of a level, I don't think is democratic.
Senator, you said that would be 20 smaller districts. Did I not hear you say something like that? You're not proposing that we break the massive CPS up, are you?
No, not the CPS, but the school board members. So, you know, much has been made of the challenges of creating a school board that fits a large urban area like the city of Chicago. And Los Angeles ran moved to an elected school board model with seven members that ran across the city, citywide. And what Austin talked about is exactly what happened. It was a battle between unions and basically the Koch brothers. And last I checked, the Koch brothers won. They spent about $2 million on every seat and won every seat on the Los Angeles school board. So once again, the union money got outspent by the corporate money. Okay.
But are you saying that these smaller subsets would be like very local people in this neighborhood?
That's exactly right. So we said, how do we avoid that situation and make sure that people are voting for local representatives that understand their communities? And then, of course, diversity was very important. We want everyone to have a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. So when you break the city up into 20 districts, you can draw into every corner. It's roughly the size of a state representative district. And if you look at the Chicago delegation in the Illinois House of Representatives, it almost identically reflects the demographics of the city of Chicago.
Here's what I would like to see something fix, and I don't know if an elected school board is, but I'm open to that. And that is, I was just so frustrated with how the CPS ran last year, or in general. And I don't even have a kid in the Chicago Public Schools, but we all benefit or suffer for how the CPS is run. And if I'm not happy about it, what recourse do I have? Well, at least we could throw the bums out. Austin, maybe that's not a perfect solution, but isn't that better than what we've got?
Yeah, and again, I think there are ways to make an elected school board work. But again, I think the devil's in the details. And one of the details I think is concerning is the size of this proposal. So you'd have more than 20 folks on this board trying to solve these really thorny problems and these really complex problems in Chicago public schools. And getting consensus on it, I don't know if you've ever been on a nonprofit or any kind of board with 21 people. It is tough to get stuff done with that many folks at the table, especially when there are political interests at play. And so I think the size is a real concern. We talked about Los Angeles. They have seven elected school board members. Their enrollment is around 600,000 school kids. Chicago's board had 21 members for 340,000 students last I checked. So I think that size, and that number of representatives actually in a lot of ways makes it a little bit less transparent, less accountable. It's similar to, you know, when you go to the ballot box and you see all those names for judges and you decide whether to retain or, as you said, throw the bums out. Yeah. But oftentimes we really don't know anything about those.
Senator, I was just thinking about that, Senator. I was thinking, OK, so having given you my grand speech about wanting to control the destiny of the school, I can imagine myself looking at the ballot and going, I don't know, Joe Smith, is he good? You know, in principle, it's a good idea, but I wonder if it is empowering the wrong people. I don't know that I would make an informed decision.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point, and there's an old saying that democracy is the worst form of government, but the best one we have, right? And so democracy is messy. What I can do is I can create a structure, and again, this isn't done. It doesn't even begin to take effect until 2025 when the first elected members are put into this transition period, and then not until 2027 when it becomes fully elected. So we have time to tweak some of these things. But what I would say is this. Number one, you're going to be voting for one school board member because it's broken up into a district.
Right.
You don't have to choose from amongst a million of them.
Yeah.
Number two, we just talked about what a disaster the Los Angeles school district is. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say, I want to limit the influence of outside money, but then you say, I want the same model that failed in that respect. With the 20 members, I hear this unwieldy, you can't make a decision, you won't even be able to agree on what to order for lunch. You're not supposed to. It's democracy. 50 members of the city council make decisions, 59 members of the Illinois Senate, 118 members of the Illinois House of Representatives, and over 400 members of Congress make decisions. You have discussion, you have debate, you have a vote, and you live with the outcome.
I think that's really another interesting point. Fellas, this has been great, and I'm not done with the conversation, but I am today. Robert Martwick, 10th District, Chicago's Northwest Side, Senator there, and Austin Berg, the Vice President of Marketing at the Illinois Policy Institute. Fellas, thank you both.
Thank you, John.